Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
And you know what the best part of today is? No, baptism, dude. Get your priorities right. But I was thinking potluck as a close second, so he's kind of right. But I totally agree with you, Luke. We're going to eat. We're gonna see new life in Christ. And I don't know if you have made the decision to follow Jesus and get baptized. You know, that's like a post-believing thing. When they sprinkle you as a baby, you didn't have a choice. This is your choice. This is, you get to decide who you're going to follow for the rest of your life. And so maybe you didn't even think about it today, but today might be the day. You're going to decide to follow Jesus and join us in baptism. So that's okay. You don't have to be on the docket or the schedule. God has his own schedule and you are on it. All right. So can't wait. Lord, we just come to you and we're so excited with what you are doing, what you're going to do. Thank you for this church and what a blessing they are, even to me. This is my church, so I'm grateful for the family that we have here. I'm grateful for the love that gets expressed all through the week outside of Sunday services. Father, I pray that death would be defeated in every area of our life. As we go through this series, may you point to the areas of death that need to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this series that we've been talking about called Death Defeated is about declaring the death-defeating power over every area of our lives. And I hope you will do that, because as we learned at Easter, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. We have a key verse, Romans 8:11. I want you all to help me out with this. Can you do that? Romans 8:11, 3, 2, 1. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Amen. So through faith in Jesus, the Spirit of the living God gives you power and strength for your everyday life. Today we're going to be talking about defeating spiritual bondage. And some of you are just here because there's a baptism. Some of you are here because there's good food afterwards. Amen. And those are all good reasons to be here, by the way. And some of you are like, man, spiritual bondage? What's that? Glad you asked. We're going to talk about what it means, but first I want to tell a story. My kids, they go to school with my wife. She's a teacher. They go to school and they leave at about 7, and there's this kind of half hour or so of peace and quiet. It was easier when she wasn't sitting on the front row. Of course, my wife's quiet in the morning. She's not a morning person. She, do not engage, okay? Just do not. She loves me. She kisses me, but it's quiet, okay? It's the children, okay, that are noisy. And when they leave, I go around, I get some stuff done, I fix things, water plants, do whatever, and then I leave a little bit later. And you ever come in your house, you shut the door, and you're like, my wife is going to love this one too. And you're like, what is that smell, right? No one else? So we have 5 kids, 4 still living at home. I know you're like, I'm filling in the blank here. I'm sure you're thinking, you have a child that's an adult? You're so young. That's what you were thinking, I know. Actually, I have 2 adult children. My wife and I got married at 10 years old. So you ever walk into your house and you have that smell? There's a smell and you don't know where it is. Can you raise your hands and make me feel a little better? Because some of you are like, no, we don't have smells in our house. Okay. All right. The self-righteous people can head to the door. All right. So look. I'm wondering where this smell is at, and I look in all the usual places. I want to see if everything's been flushed in the toilet, right? Just saying, children. Okay, I want to make sure that the sink is clear of all debris that would smell from the night before. Okay, these are normal sources of stink, okay? And then I go to the trash next, right? I go to the trash, and it didn't smell any more than it usually does. children's bedroom. Okay, but I closed the door. That wasn't it. Different smell, okay? I get to the front room, and I'm like, it's still here. Like, and I look behind me, and there's like smear marks on the floor. I have brought the smell with me. The smell has become attached to me. I stepped in it outside. Do you know what I'm talking about? All right, yeah. I stepped in it. I don't know if you stepped in it before, but then you go through life after you stepped in it, and you're like, where's that coming from? And really what we do is we clean everything. We're like, where is that coming from? Kids, take the trash out. You know, we go through everything. We scour. We do everything physically possible, but the smell is still there. It's not in the place you're looking. And so sometimes our problems have spiritual implications. Sometimes the smell is following you around because it's attached to you. And I want this to be clear. If the devil is the one who enslaved you, then it's only the death-defeating power of Jesus who can release you. If you have a spiritual problem, then there is only a spiritual solution that'll work. You can do all the other things, and it may make things a little better, but if you leave the spiritual out of it, you're still gonna smell. I took off my shoes and I took a different pair to work that day. You're welcome, everybody. Sometimes we need to be liberated from what's been attached to us. And we can open ourselves up to spiritual bondage, we're here at church, so of course we believe in the power of spiritual good in the world, but I wanna enlighten you. There's also the power of spiritual evil in the world. And we can open ourselves up to this in a myriad of ways. The Bible specifically tells us in Ephesians 4:26. I didn't put these on the screen because it's not the main point, but I got to kind of get you there before we can talk about it more. But Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says that sin, the sinful anger, like anger that's sinful, you can read about it there, that is what gives the devil a foothold. He gets his foot in the door through your anger, and then he starts having other power over your life through sinful anger. Another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says that bitterness, unforgiveness, gives the devil power over your life. You're walking around smelling, it's the bitterness that you've been carrying with you. It's the anger that you've been living in. Now, there's other ways as well, and I'm just gonna keep this short. That way you don't think I'm any more of a prude. But we can open ourselves up to spiritual bondage through the things that we allow to have power over our lives, the things we get entangled with, things, divination, predictions using spiritual power, evil spiritual power, to get answers about the future or to speak to somebody from the dead. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, tarot cards, people, and the like. Okay, and that's such a nice Jamaican lady, I'm sure. Okay, you don't remember the Jamaican lady on the tarot cards commercial? Okay. So look, these things are using another spiritual power, and you can give that spiritual power over your life if you're not careful. Because the devil, when he gets his foot in the door, the rest is coming with him. So now that we got that established, you can email me about questions further and we can talk more. But we had to establish that there is in fact an evil spiritual power in the world. And it cannot indwell believers, but it can afflict and hang out with believers. So, and it most certainly can possess unbelievers. So Luke 13, verses 10 through 13, Jesus is gonna heal somebody, but very specifically in this passage, it says that the healing is actually from an evil spirit. The crippling is from an evil spirit. So the healing has to come from, let me start over. You know what happened? And I'm just going to blame this. I ran out of espresso. And I got to like the last little sip. The last service was not responsive. It took them halfway through before I almost sweat through this shirt. This has lines and letters on it. You could almost read them. They were just kind of still waking up, and I required a little more espresso, I think. But I'm gonna, Lord, I turn this over to you. Give me that power back. Keep my head straight. Can I do this again? We're gonna talk about a passage where Jesus is healing a woman who is crippled by an evil spirit. You got it now? It makes more sense when you say it right. And it was very specifically a spiritual problem that had physical implications. Let's read about it in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. This woman was very explicitly and specifically in spiritual bondage. Something had attached to her that was creating infirmity in her body. And you may be here, maybe it is an illness. You may be stuck. You may be in a cycle of addiction. You may be in a struggle for your marriage. You may be in a struggle for your kids. And if you are struggling to break free from whatever has entangled you, you might be in the midst of spiritual bondage. So how do we defeat spiritual bondage? Number one, if you're taking notes, this is a good one to take notes for. That way, if it isn't happening now, you'll be ready for it. You must be set free spiritually before you can be set free physically. There's all these other implications. Hey, we want Jesus to work in ways that we can see, right? That's where we want Jesus to work. But a lot of times, especially with spiritual bondage, what's unseen has to be fixed before what's seen can be transformed. We're gonna reread Luke chapter 13, verse 12. And I would encourage you to follow along. This is a good sermon to follow along with. If you don't already have the YouVersion Bible app, you can download it, YOUVersion, and follow along. We're using the NIV today, and the NIV translation. It says in verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward. He knew exactly who needed healed that day. He called her forward. I want to put you in her shoes as we read. He called her forward. Woman, you're set free from your infirmity. Can you imagine? It said she was this way for 18 years. Jesus says, you're set free. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. She came to worship, but she got set free by Jesus. I wonder how many of us miss out on what God wants to do in our lives because we're waiting for him to work where we can see him work. Because you gotta follow along in this passage, because verse 12 says you're set free. But verse 13 is where the actual physical healing takes place. And it wasn't just because they couldn't cram it all into one verse. There's the word then, T-H-E-N, at the beginning of verse 13. She was set free then. A time elapsed. And then, right? So right now, all we have is, he says, you're healed. You're set free. You may have been told this by the pastor. You've been sitting through 3 weeks of death defeated, and you're still looking at the ground, still in pain, still struggling. You have to be ready for God to work in the unseen areas before you're ready for God to work in the seen. We cannot give up on our faith that God is working even in places we can't see him. We don't get to control where he works. But I can tell you that if you are in spiritual bondage, he's working in all the right places if you can't see it. He called her forward. Today, he's calling you forward. He's saying, hey, whatever it is that you've gotten attached to you, I want to set you free. Today, I want you to walk out of here and it ain't gonna smell anymore. You're gonna walk out of here and you will be liberated from whatever it is that has been dragging you. Hebrews 11 talks about this unseen. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not. Like, this is the very foundation. And yet we demand God to work where we see him and so we can see results. But the Bible itself says faith is about things you can't see. God is working in ways and in places you can't see. And the enemy loves to come up when God is working in the unseen, the spiritual areas, before the physical have had any effect. And he loves to just kind of get behind you and worship, whisper, in your ear. And he says, he'll never answer. He doesn't care about you. You see? We knew he would come through for you. Nothing's ever going to change. He doesn't care about you. You're not good enough. So you just give up. And that's usually when a lot of Christians give up. Because God didn't do what I asked him to. The devil loves, especially in spiritual bondage, to whisper in your ear, nothing's ever gonna change. I want you to hear the voice of Jesus over that voice saying, you've been set free. You've been set free from what has afflicted you. Would you turn to your neighbor and say that? Somebody needs to hear that today. Just go ahead. If you're sitting alone, Todd, you know, whisper further forward, further backwards, you know. Thank you, Shelley, for yelling across the aisle. So not only do you need to be set free spiritually before you can be set free physically, but number two, you must be set free by the power of Jesus. As I said, if it's the devil that enslaved you, then it's only the death-defeating power of Jesus that can set you free. You can keep looking at every other area, but you will only find true freedom in Jesus. I have a frequent flyer in my sermon analogies in one of my children. And I won't say which one. But he had a splinter, and he turns into a baby. He really struggles with splinters. He's always the one getting cut and splinters, and this boy's an outdoorsman. Not this one, you know, the one I'm talking about. Not of course not this one. But he just has a knack, right? And so he gets a splinter, and he's like, you know, he's like, can you help me? And I'm like, sure. And I get the tweezers and the needle and the knife just in case. I set him out. I get my headlamp on. I look like a real dork. But I know what I'm doing. We've done this a lot of times. We've been parents of a million children. So, like, son, I get a hold of his hand and his foot, and immediately I get the needle and I get ready to get, and then the foot, like, it disappears. It gets sucked back up. And I'm like, man, I'd love to get this out for you. And he's still, like, mad about the pain, but you're going to have to let me dig this out. And I could have used better words, maybe. But, he's kind of beyond the age where I can hold him down. So we finally got the splinter out. You see, you come to Jesus and you're like, hey, get this out. I need your help. Fix it, God. And God starts grabbing a hold of your foot. And you're like, yeah, that's going to hurt. Yeah. Yeah, you're wounded. Right? The healer's in the room, right? It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And so he begins getting into those tender areas. But when he pulls that out, it's like, whoo, right? You've been set free, and it's the power of Jesus. He couldn't get it out by himself. Him, you know, whoever it is that had the splinter. You know, you can't get a splinter on the bottom of your foot out by yourself. You need someone else. Let's read verse 13 again. It says, then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. I want to show you this Greek word. There it is. Anorthao, everyone? All right. The second one's the one you want to look at there. The first one's the Greek letters, and the next one, anorthao. Okay, so it means to, this is the word translated straighten up, right? It means to be made straight by way of strengthening. In particular, this is a passive aorist. Dr. Harvey, we're getting a little nerdy here. He's doctor of theology, so he's following. But I want to tell you what that means. It means it happened in the past, and it means the woman didn't do it. Passive. She didn't straighten up. She was straightened up by the power of Jesus. It happened not of her own agency. She didn't go, I'm gonna pull myself up by my bootstraps. And she straightened up. After 18 years, don't you think she would have tried that? No, Jesus touched her, and it was the power of his touch that led that healing to go from spiritual unseen to physically transformed. See, once Jesus puts his hand on you, you've been healed immediately. That's when you can feel the physical, you can start to see things change in the physical reality that you see before you. There is spiritual victory that occurs when the power of Jesus takes back what the devil stole. We begin to see things differently. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I got those voices in my head telling me that God doesn't care too. But what I love is that when I hear those voices and God does something like this, I go, yeah, you see now, devil, God cares. Look at what he's doing in my life. There's just something powerful that happens when what the devil said wasn't going to happen, happens. I want to read verse 12 and verse 13 together, that one after the other. You can try to read along with me, but I'm just going to read these together as a section. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity, verse 13. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. In verse 12, he sets her free. In verse 13, he heals her physically. She's set free, and now she's healed. You may have been set free. Now it's time to be touched by Jesus so you can be fully healed. Churches are full of people who haven't straightened up yet. It says he touched her, and then she straightened up. She healed. And by the way, I'm not talking about behavior. I mean, there's plenty of poorly behaved people at church, okay? I'm talking, because remember, the power is not her straightening herself up, okay? I'm talking about there's people at church who haven't been straightened up. The power of Jesus has not yet been released on their life. And so they're living in defeat when they've been given the power of victory. The death-defeating power of the Spirit of God living in us. I don't know if you've been sitting in whatever you're stuck in for a while, you get kind of a, like you have pains that aren't related to the initial pain, because you're in pain and you're catering to it, right? You know, when you have back pain on one side and then you develop back pain on the other side because you're catering to this side, or you have a knee problem and then it goes up here because you're limping wrong and now your back hurts, right? Everything's connected when there are spiritual implications. Have you ever been on a long flight and you're like, I just want to stand up? Look, even with a shortage of espresso today, I don't sit still, okay? They have the camera set to wide because lightning took out one of our cameras, and they're loving it back there because they don't have to chase me today. But, like, I don't sit still well. But we were on this. Please don't let this reflect poorly on our mission trip to Africa because this isn't normal. But we were on a 17-hour flight. Like, get in the plane, don't get out for more than 17 hours. And like I said, it's not usually like that, okay? It's the only flight we could get at that time. And so we go from Uganda to Ethiopia. We land there. We get off the plane. We get back on another plane, and we are not going to get off for another 17 hours. We land in Rome, and I'm thinking, I mean, it's dark, but I just want to get up and walk around, right? I just want to get out of my seat. We land, finally, taxied wherever we're going, and the light does not turn off, and the pilot says, please remain seated and in your buckled position. Make sure your seat is in an upright position with your tray firmly attached. And you know how they talk, right? And I'm like, no, we are landed. I want to stand up, okay? But I don't get to, because apparently they're refueling, and if they refuel, and I don't know, like an explosion, the seatbelt's going to save me. So I stay seated. I do what I'm told. Man, it takes a long time to fill a plane. Finally, we get up to cruising, especially if you're going 17 hours, okay? We get up to cruising altitude, and I'm like, I'm like a caged animal. I need to get up, okay? So finally, we get up to cruising altitude, and we hear this from the cockpit.
We're experiencing some turbulence for the next hour or so. If you could continue to remain seated, yada, yada. Lord, help me. I can't do it anymore.
Finally, I'm like, it has been smooth for 20 minutes. Turn off the light, okay? And so
you are now free to move about the cabin. There has never been sweeter words.
Right? I mean, that is a good feeling. I got up. I you could hear all the clicks, right? And I'm like, I'm not waiting my turn. I'm going, there's a place in the back, the galley, whatever. Man, I just stand there. I'm doing stretches. I'm running in place. I'm like, woohoo! Yeah. Okay, look, I just want to tell you, this gets us to our next point. Like, when Jesus sets you free, give him praise. Don't just
thank you, Jesus.
No, get excited about what God's done in your life. Let's read verse 13 again, because I want to make sure we don't miss this point. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. My children, we have a lot of teen children at our house, and they come home and, hey, Dad, how you doing? You know, there's no lip movement, and then they go to their rooms, right? Unless we're eating, then they emerge briefly to join us for food, prayer, and then they go back, right? A lot of times. Unless the internet breaks. Then they all emerge like ants, like cockroaches, you know, when a light turns on, okay? They all come out, or when a light turns off, anyway. So they come out and they're like, Dad, the internet's down. Have you called Xfinity? Reboot the modem. Reboot the router. I'm like, I go back and I reboot everything. Everything's back up and running, and children are happily back in their cocoons in their bedroom hiding. Nobody came out and said, Dad, thank you so much. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to fix my internet. Nobody does that. I want to remind you to shout and get excited as you do when you're complaining to God. Get that excited, get that persistent, get that urgent with praising God. You know, we get really We'll make time to pray when stuff's hitting the fan. But what about when Jesus says you've been set free, he touches you, and you walk straight up? Is he gonna hear from you again, or are you gonna go crawl away to your bedroom and hide again? So this woman, where does Jesus find her? In the synagogue, in a place of worship. So this woman's hunched over. She's in this position for 18 years, in pain. Some of you guys won't come to church if it's a nice day outside or if it's too nasty outside. One or the other, it has to be just right, planets align. We even had a solar eclipse. Welcome to church, right? And then, but this lady's worshiping in pain. Have you been there? There's songs that kind of remind you of where you've been at certain times, right? Like when the band sings a certain song, it takes you back to whatever moment that was, right? And she didn't let anything stand in between her and worship. But I want to tell you, do you know what it feels like to worship that way for so long and then to see God move in a powerful way and go back and worship after that? You didn't hear me. Do you know what it feels like to be hunched over and in pain for a long time and you've been pleading for God to do something and then he does something and then you come back to worship? How powerful is that? I hope you get to experience that. I remember, we're in Florida. I remember, I'm just going to tell you, after every big hurricane, we have a big attendance on Sunday morning. Woo, God, we got to thank you that Jesus didn't, wipe us off the planet, right? That's the kind of worship we need to get excited about when he releases us from spiritual bondage. When the devil steals something from you and God gives it back, make sure that you go to him with the same level of intensity with your praise that you did the level intensity of your complaints.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.